The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and I hope you're going to have a good day listening. And we've got no callers waiting right now, so why don't you give me a call? Be the first one in. 877-207-2276. All right. Let's see. If you want to watch the show, all you got to do is go to carm.org, C-A-R-M.org, /radio, and you'll have the links right there. Let's see. So, I'm going to check out something on the website. I released some articles yesterday on Carm and on COVID stuff. And, boy, I'll tell you, interesting stuff. And we're having a little bit of trouble with one of the articles. It doesn't want to format properly, even though I do what's necessary to make it work and fix. So I think I know what I'm going to do here. At any rate, we'll get that going. And I hope to hear from you. So give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. And, boy, a lot going on in our government, and you know, it's kind of odd because I'm not a politician, or I don't study politics and stuff like that. I'm a theologian, and yet this stuff has come up more and more. There we go. It's fixed now, Charlie. And I had to open it up, edit it. So I'm going to give you that. We got to work it, give you some access to that, so you can do that too. Okay, now, four open lines, 877-207-2276. I want to tell you, I started today working on an outline on the COVID vaccines and everything. And this is what I do. People don't know this, but it's not a big deal. But what I do is I produce outlines in Word. And I do indexes. I do table of contents. And I have a way of doing things so that on the left-hand side of the screen, the contents of what is in the document can be seen. I can go through it. I use it mainly for debates. And it's turning out that these things are just very useful, period. And so I'm probably doing 20 or 30 outlines, maybe 20. I don't know how many. 20 or 30. And I started today on COVID. And what I'm going to do is take all my information that I've produced so far, put it into this Word document with an index, with a table of contents, and I'm going to then save it as a PDF and then put it up there for anybody to download. And it'll have active links in there that you can go click on things and go see stuff. And every now and then what I'll do is I will update that maybe once a week or so, and so people can download it for free and distribute it and have information that's handy. And it'll be all kinds of stuff in there. It'll probably be 30 to 50 pages long, and it's there. So just trying to do research. And also, I love doing theological research. I did a couple of hours today. I did stuff on the Church Fathers. If any of you have any information where the Church Fathers contradict each other on interpretation of certain verses, let me know, because that's what I started doing. The reason is because so many Catholics like to attack the sufficiency of Scripture and say that without their tradition and their church and their church fathers, you can't understand the truth because they are in line with the church fathers. Well, I spent some time today, and I went through a particular verse, and I found out that church fathers contradict each other and what it means. And this is interesting. So I'm doing this on varying verses, and it's kind of slow going, but I get to do that. And I'll be working on some articles on that as well. So, you know, and just doing research. Man, I'm doing a lot of research. And, okay, so what I want you to do is give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Chris from Indiana. Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Question. I got a friend of mine. He always talks to me about, like, there's a secret society. There's lizard people living in caves.
There's what people?
Lizard people.
they're called the Anunnaki. Yeah, they're the Anunnaki. Yeah, Yeah.
Do they exist? Because, like, he's saying they're committing, like, satanic rituals where they're scaring children and they'll, like, drain the adrenaline from them.
Their adrenal glands,
and
yeah.
They can offer them eternal life that way or something. I don't know. But,
yeah.
And, like, he says things like, like, Biden is not really Joe Biden. Someone, he's a knockoff and they've cloned him.
Well, this is awesome stuff. I wish he'd call me, because that's awesome. Well,
stuff like Hillary Clinton's not alive, really.
Well, I could see making a case for Hillary and Clinton and Obama and Pelosi and Schumer and Biden all being substitute alien reptiles in human skin. I mean, because they act like it. So that, you know, that could work, you know.
Really?
I'm kidding, dude.
I'm
just having
like
fun.
Real, like, I mean, wait a minute, this guy, he really believes this stuff.
I know he does. Yeah, it's called the Anunnaki, where reptilian aliens are interbreeding with Nazis in underground cities till the point where they're going to get enough power, and then they're going to take over. And then there's Bohemian Grove on the East Coast, and there's some legitimacy to that one, though, where there's a lot of occult rituals going on.
What's it called?
Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian.
Yeah.
What?
Grove. Uh-huh. And
what's that?
Well, it's supposed to be, I love this kind of stuff, but it's supposed to be a secret society that's involved in Satanism that is seeking control of the world. And then there's the issue of the Masons and how Washington, D.C. is laid out in a pentagram. And let's see, what else is there? There's so much stuff I've heard over the years. You know, I don't buy into it. But the Anunnaki, you know, I love that so much. I just want to believe that there are reptilian aliens interbreeding with Nazis in underground cities so they can take over. I mean, it is such a great conspiracy that it's like, man,
well,
you know.
What about the Cabal? What about the Cabal?
The Cabal is supposed to be another secret organization like the Illuminati. And So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. See, here's the thing. If you want to hide, you hide in plain sight. And that way you can't be discovered if you're camouflaged, okay? Camouflage works out in the forest. If you're all camouflaged, they can't find you, right? Well, disinformation and real information, you can't tell what's what. So who knows? You know, they could be real, could not be real. But if you want an interesting book to check out that discusses some of this, I read it years and years ago, decades ago, En Route to Global Occupation. And that was written, 25 years ago or so, I guess. And it is really interesting. You can read that kind of stuff. And then there's, as they're putting in their chat, then there's the Raelians. The Raelians are aliens that are walking among us and from another planet, stuff like this. Oh, yeah, it gets... I love this stuff. You know,
is any of that stuff true or legitimate? Or?
The only thing I would add that I think might have some actuality, but then I cannot discern truth from error, would be the Cabal, Illuminati, stuff like that, with some of the Masons. I remember going into a Masonic hall once when there was nobody there. I just pulled on a door and opened it and walked in. And I went up, this is with my own eyes. This is not with anybody else. This is not an anecdote. This is what I saw and I read with my own eyes. I went up into their area, their sacred area, I guess you'd call it, all these chairs in a huge room. And they had a pulpit kind of, an altar kind of a thing where chairs were inside of it. It was elevated a few, foot off the ground kind of thing. You know, step up into it. And there were two books there. And I opened them, and I read, scanned through, and I just happened to find where it says, Jesus is not God, and where another book said Christians were a problem they need to be gotten rid of. And so that's what I read with my own eyes.
Oh, yeah?
So,
wow.
Yeah, uh-huh. So who knows what's going on, but, yeah.
Well, I know, but he's like, he says it like real, and I'm like, I don't really respond because I don't really want to, because I really want to laugh. I'm like, hey, well, sorry. But
just make sure.
I'm like,
just make sure that, that you don't share any food, okay? So that the drugs that are whacking him out won't get into your system and you start believing in the Anunnaki. But Anunnaki, even the word Anunnaki is an awesome word.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, T-H-A-T. But if you want me to spell Anunnaki. Anunnaki. Oh, okay. Anunnaki, let's see. How do I spell Anunnaki? I think it's A-N-A, Anunnaki. I think it's A-N-A, Anu. No, here we go. Yeah, A-N-U-N-A-K-I. I think that's what it is. Let's see if I got it right. Oh, two N's. A-N-N.
What's the difference, like the Anakims or the
Anakim? Nephilim, Anakim, in the Old Testament, are the most probably the offspring of the half-breeds between women and fallen angels. So,
is that a reality? Is that really that,
well?
Play?
There's debate on yeah, there's debate on it, but I affirm that it was fallen angels and women. And the reason I do is because of Genesis 6:9. That says that Noah was perfect in all his generations. His generations, his ancestry was clean. And when it talks about the sons of God came down, took for themselves women, some people think, well, the sons of God just mean really powerful people, but that's not how the term is used in the Bible. So it does seem to be that there was something going on like that. And that was probably why the flood was instituted by God, to wipe them all out. And then some, this is just theories here, and one of the theories is that demons are the released spirits from the flood, when their physical bodies died, and because they always want to inhabit bodies. And then there are fallen angels, which are different than demons. So these are just the theories that some scholars have gone through and analyzed the text to see. They don't know. Okay?
Because he talked about demons, like, I believe, like, in angels, and I guess demons. But
yeah, demons.
I'm not sure that they have. I mean, angels can take physical form.
Yes.
And not. I mean.
Yes. Yes, they can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people say, well, they. It looks like they can only occupy bodies.
Demons.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, it says an unclean spirit goes out, and there's the issue. There are fallen angels. I did an article on this, and there are unclean spirits, there's demonic forces, and we don't know too much about them because the Bible doesn't tell us. So all we can do is say, well, here's some of the theories with this, here's some of the theories with that, and I just give that and say, but we don't know for sure. Yeah,
so if we can entertain angels unaware, then I guess we could. Doesn't mean they're good angels or bad angels.
Technically, logically, what you said is correct, but we don't know that is correct. So, that's the thing. All right, buddy, we've got to go. Okay, man? There's the break.
All right, man, thanks.
All right. Okay, watch out for the Anunnaki. All right. Hey, folks, five open lines, wide open. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. Hope you enjoyed the first segment. That was fun. And if you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Buskman from Dayton, Ohio. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. Just getting to be regular to call you, my friend, but absolutely love your program.
Oh, thanks.
I've got a question for you. I am so much telling people, especially since March of 2020, Matt, I have been just telling people about Jesus, telling the gospel. Mm-hmm. I sometimes I'll get into these quandaries where it's like, I'll run into Christians, Matt, and I'll ask them, hey, are you telling people about Jesus? And usually, Matt, they'll say, well, of course. But when I bring it to my local church group and I observe, there's not a whole lot of gospel talk to our surrounding communities. And one of the pushbacks that I've gotten was because they say, Busman, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Now, this is a Christian. Mm-hmm. I don't have the gift of evangelism. So when I read Mark 16 and Matthew 28, the Great Commission, I don't find where Jesus said, unless you have the gift of evangelism. You know what I mean? Is that...
Yeah. Well, let's
am I missing
it.
Something? So well, what stops Christians? I guess my question is, what stops Christians from telling the gospel to their surrounding community?
Well, I actually, in college, for my social studies or social science bachelor's degree, I did a study on this very topic. I had a theory.
Wow.
Yeah, I did. And I had a theory about it, and my theory turned out to be wrong. I'll tell you what the theory was.
Okay.
And I still got an A in the course because it made sense it was a theory. It made sense, but it didn't turn out to be correct from the data. And the professor said, okay. Excellent job. That's how you learn. Very good. You got an A. Okay. My theory was Christians did not evangelize because they were not grounded in their faith, in knowledge, and having general answers. And so they were intimidated and didn't want to study. It sounds reasonable, right?
That seems viable. Yeah, that's very reasonable, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it turned out that's not the case. And
okay.
And so I was wrong about that. And I also found out in there that 80% of the Christians were functioning Roman Catholics. Being good was what was needed for salvation. And so I don't remember what the actual data showed, but I remember the data showed that my theory was incorrect. And it didn't do enough. I would have had to gone through and developed questions to find out what the real issue was, but hey, you know, get ready to graduate. And so I don't know exactly, but I think part of it is they don't know the faith. I think it's part of it. The other part is that they're just not confident. hold on. And I think another part is they don't see it done, and they don't know what to do. I think they're just mostly flat out afraid. I think they're just afraid. And I'm not knocking them. It's intimidating to go up to a bunch of people and start witnessing, or to your coworkers and things like that. And I think what has to happen is people need to be encouraged. And they need to understand something very, very important. When you witness, you are going to mess up. That's just how it's going to be. And I know that because in every single instance except for one that I've ever witnessed in, I messed up. And that means there was this one time I thought I did everything right. Now, that doesn't mean I did. I think I did. And so, you know, it just goes to show, you know, even someone, you know, not to use myself as a great example of anything, but, you know, even someone like myself, you know, I messed up. I mess up a lot. And people think a lot of times that if they mess up, they're not good, period, at evangelism. Well, no, it's okay to mess up.
So when they fail, their failure causes them to think twice about doing it or trying it second time or a third time.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense. That does describe the human condition because we hate to fail, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in my case, I'm too stupid to know when to quit. And I just keep going. You know, okay, well, I messed up that. Let's just try it again. And, and so, you know, I have the gift of obnoxiousness and stupidity. And so apparently it works out. God can use it while he's rubbing his forehead, shaking his head, looking at me. But as far as others go, I don't know. And I would just encourage them and say, no one's going to do it perfectly. In fact, this is not just a say it as an illustration. This actually is what I actually believe. That if any of my friends or radio people come out and they, you know, meet me here and we go out witnessing, I don't want to be too public about it because they're going to see me really mess up, and it'll lower their opinions of me quite a bit. Because, yeah, because, you know, I like it when people go, yeah, you're great, Matt. If they, and that goes away when they meet me. And so I like the other stuff. But it just goes to tell you, you know, it. And plus, there's different ways of being a good witness. You know, you can be a good mechanic, and you do an honest job.
Yeah.
And you tell your friends why you're doing what you do, and that you are a man of integrity or a woman of integrity, things like that, and that you do what's right before the Lord. And that is a very powerful witness, particularly when you continue to live it and not just say it once, but live it.
That same car keeps coming back to you because you've been consistent in, right. in your fairness and in your great work. Mm-hmm. And when you have interjected, hey, I do this because... This is what I say, Matt, and the listeners to your great radio program. This is what I do is I serve a higher power. His name is Jesus, and I will meet him one day. And so that's why I'm doing the service so well. Hopefully you have been satisfied with my work on that kind of thing. And then another thing that I do, because I work in service. Okay. I'm a customer servant. Here in Ohio, and what God laid on my heart, Matt, and all the listeners, feel free to do this. It was such a great idea that it had to be God, because I'm just not that smart. But right around Lent, right before Easter, God said to me, and it was so clear, it was so calm, it was such a wonderful idea, take a piece of white cardboard and take a Sharpie, small, and just make a button. And this is what I want the button to say, he said. And I listened, and he said, just write down these words. Ask me about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I said to the Lord, I said, should I put a cross with it? Should I put some kind of branding? He said, a smiley face. Just a dot dot with a little swoop on it. And I am not kidding you, Mr. Flick. I have had such a great response from that little piece of cardboard on my work desk.
There you go.
And it sharpens my understanding of who I am in Christ. Okay, so
we gotta go. There's
some
a break.
Ways I'm like, I monitor my behavior, my words, but the response has been amazing.
Good. Well, praise God. See, there's a way to witness. Hey, buddy, we gotta go, man. Appreciate that. So keep up the good work. All right. All right, man. God bless.
Will do.
Hey, folks, three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you're all having a good day. And if you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Charlie from North Carolina, welcome. Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, buddy. A person entering the U.S. illegally, I heard that they can have rights immediately, like they can vote and the kids can go to school and they get work permits. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just something I haven't studied. I get so infuriated when I watch this stuff on TV, knowing that the federal government is purposely breaking our laws and flooding our country with socialists who don't even know our language. And we're coming in against the law. We already have laws in place, and I believe it's a power play in order to control our government and control our people and to get Democrats in for socialistic control, turning us into a communist state ultimately. That's my opinion.
I think they want to eventually, they want all those votes. I don't know when they can vote, if they have to be vetted or what, but they're just counting on all those votes for the Democratic Party, I believe.
Yeah they are. And it's always the left that does underhanded things to gain power. They're ungodly and untrustworthy. So I don't have any problem with people coming into the country. Hey, come in. Just do it legally. That's all. And learn our language,
exactly.
And that's it. You know, learn our language. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived in San Diego for many years, and I'm pretty good with Spanish, and I've worked at a few jobs where I had to speak Spanish. And I regularly encountered people who've been in the country for years, never spoke English, and were illegals.
Yeah.
You know, I don't blame them for wanting to have a better life. I get it. But, you know, and I remember talking to somebody, and this really bothered me, once at a hospital. This woman was pregnant, and she had three kids, and she's pregnant, and a man sitting next to her, and it was not her husband, and he was not the father of any of the children, but the father of the one she's pregnant with, and there were three different fathers with the three different children, and she didn't know where they were.
Wow.
And I asked her how long she'd been in the United States. She said 8 years. I said, do you speak English? And she said, no. Mm-hmm. This kind of thing is a problem, and it was not that uncommon. And so, you know, they want a better life, but then, you know, if I go to Germany and I'm going to live there for 20 years, one of the first things I'm going to do is sign up for German language lessons. I'm going to learn German.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's what I would do.
You can talk to somebody.
Yeah, I'm in their country.
Okay, brother.
Yeah, so.
Appreciate that.
It's a frustrating thing.
See you later. God bless.
All right, Matt, God bless. Oh, boy. You know, what do you say? But let's try this. Let's try David from Iowa. Hey, Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Oh, doing all right. Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got?
Well, there was a Saturday. I was listening to the station, and they were talking about these giants that are being built, and they're computerized. You ever heard of them?
No. Giants. Giants, so they're robots,
yeah,
giant robots being built.
Yeah, and they're computerized. And they were the station I was listening to. They were talking about that they're wanting to build these throughout the country, and it's kind of portraying the Satan. And I guess you can put. You step in this cage, and they scan your body, and then they can project it up on the giant. It's like several stories high.
I have no idea about that. This is an interesting show today.
Well,
Anunnaki and giant robots. We're going to get there eventually, but right now, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they'll flood the country with them and then program to all vote socialist. You know?
Yeah. I Googled it, and it's an actual... They got one actually built.
Okay, what do you Google to find it?
Well, it was
giant robots
on YouTube. Giant robots.
Giant robots.
And,
okay, well...
And they actually have one built already, and... They had one of the TV news reporters step in the cage, and it literally scanned his body, and then it projected it up on the computer or on the giant.
It sounds like a gimmicky kind of a thing. But other than that, I mean, I wouldn't know what to. So I'm reading stuff about them. It's the giant robots. They'll probably end up taking over the world sometime, but right now we love them. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Was it Real Steel, you know, when they had the fighting robots and stuff like that. If you read Isaac Asimov, the science fiction series Foundation, they have robots in there, which are pretty cool. But I'm not aware of this, so I'm not sure to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know the station I was listening to, they were very concerned about them because it's, I don't know, I can't remember now what they all said about it, but it kind of got me thinking because, you know, if I tell my girls that someday we're going to be fighting robots.
You mean like Pacific Rim stuff? The movie Pacific Rim?
I don't know. I bring it up on YouTube, and I actually saw, and it's like several stories high, and the arms move, the head moves. It doesn't walk around or anything, but it's stationary.
Okay. But, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. I don't know. It's not something I've heard. Maybe the cults will use them to go door to door and evangelize. I don't know. But for now, probably not. Okay. So that's sort of tell you here. All right.
Well, I appreciate your. I like listening to your program. I learned a lot.
Well, I'm glad you are, because we do get into some odd stuff.
You're a very patient man too.
Hey, call my wife up and tell her that, because she doesn't think I am. And she doesn't know how wonderful
I'll do
I am.
That.
Yeah, she doesn't know. I'm wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, very patient. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I enjoy listening to your program. So.
All right. Well, God bless, Dave.
God
appreciate
bless you
that.
And,
interesting.
Yep. Thank you.
All right.
You bet.
All right. Let's get to Erica from Iowa. Erica, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I hear you fine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I have a question about when people are on their deathbed, I have heard that some people interact with or, claim that they're seeing folks who have died before them. And I'm wondering, is there any biblical backing for that?
I'm not aware of anything that shows that deathbed conversions is seeing things on your deathbed. But it might be.
Yep.
Because something in the back of my head says something like that happened, but I can't recall it. But I do know of, in fact, my own mom, when she was in hospice for the last 2 weeks of her life, having renal failure, my dad said that one day he was there with her one evening, and she asked him, who's that standing next to you? And then there's another friend, and it was nobody there. There's another friend we know who had a very grave illness and passed away from it, and she was incapacitated. And right at the end, minutes or hours, a couple hours kind of thing, or maybe it was even minutes, but at any rate, before she passed away, she sat up in bed and was smiling and was looking off up towards a wall, up high a little bit, smiling. And then just fell back, and that's right, fell back and was gone. So, and then there's Voltaire, who was a rabid anti-Christian a couple hundred years ago, and he hated Christianity. And there's the story goes, there's a Christian nurse taking care of him, and she reported that as he was approaching the last breaths, the last couple hours of his life, he was screaming because he said there were flames coming to him. And they were coming for him.
Oh,
and she was
presenting
the gospel, and he died without it. And then I have a friend who was he works dialysis, and he told me one day about this woman who was an elderly woman, and he said that she was in her chair and had like 10, 12, 15 patients, whatever it is, simultaneously. And this woman said, the wall's on fire. And I interrupted him, and I said, and she passed away, didn't she? And he paused, he goes, yes, she did. Yep. And there was no fire,
oh, wow.
But she was seeing fire. So, there's a lot of anecdotal stories.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I was curious. My grandfather went through it before he died.
Hold on.
My grandmother's going through it now.
I want to hear. Went through the break, okay? Because this is good.
Okay.
This is interesting
stuff.
So hold on, all right? Hey, folks, we'll be right back with Erica from Iowa and talk about deathbed stuff. And if you want to call about that, give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Let's get back on the air here with Erica from Iowa. Welcome. You still there?
Hi. Yep,
okay.
Still here.
All right. So you're going to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, as I was asking before the break, just looking for any biblical support when someone's dying, some of the things that they say they see. And I believe it. I believe you know, my grandfathers went through it, and they talked about seeing those who've passed before, and, you know, and then they slipped away in peace shortly thereafter. And
right.
But I was just curious, you know, if there was, you know, the scripture to kind of support that, you know? So besides the resurrection, I mean, obviously that's a pretty strong scripture.
Yeah, well, can they meet? Then John, you know, Matthew 17, there's people alive after death in 1 Samuel 28. But, deathbed conversions kind of stuff and seeing things or deathbed, something's there, but I can't quite remember in the Bible. Maybe someone will email me and let me know. But we do have, after this next call, after you, two calls waiting, we've got a guy who's a paramedic has a story on that, so it'll be interesting.
Oh,
all right.
Cool.
So
yeah.
Let's get to,
yeah, that's
get
great.
To,
thank you.
We'll get to Karen, and then we'll get to the paramedic guy. All right. Okay. Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks a lot, Erica. All right. Let's get to Karen from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. It was really more of a comment of encouragement. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to the gentleman before, Erica, just saying, why don't Christians evangelize?
Mm-hmm.
And I was saved, thought I was a Christian, but was saved five years ago, almost 6 years ago. And my heart would beat fast, and I would get just dry mouthed at the thought of saying the gospel, sharing the gospel, kind of like I am now ringing a live radio station. Mm-hmm. I will be frank, I'm a little terrified. But a verse that changed it for me was Romans 1:16, because I realized when we say we're self-conscious or we're embarrassed that we're really ashamed of the gospel to some extent. If we truly believe in the power of the gospel, we truly understand that Jesus brought me out of the pit into his marvelous light. And of love of others, it's to share that with them. It's life with them. And the power is not in me or how I say it, but the power is in the gospel.
Amen.
And it's the power of the gospel that changes people. And we are going to mess up. And we shouldn't flatter ourselves thinking our performance has anything to do with it. Because quite frankly, God has used a donkey and a rock. And
that's
it's
Charlie
nothing
and me.
To do with us.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it's just obedience. And I think that's where I knew I needed to share the gospel. Because if you love me, you will obey me, Jesus said. And I knew my goal was to obey him. But I felt like I wasn't equipped or I wasn't going to do this very well. When in actuality, I've got nothing to add to the gospel.
Yeah, just give the
I've got
gospel.
Nothing to add to God's grace. It's just the gospel. And if you're talking with somebody, you know that they're hurting and they're lost. They're where you've been. Just out of sheer love and mercy for them, however bungled it is, however simple it is, give them the gospel.
Right. Oh, that's right. Just give it a go. That's right. It's God
it's,
is the one who anoints
the
gospel. That's right. It's the power of his word.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. So it sets us free. Amen.
Amen.
Good stuff, Karen.
So thank
appreciate
you so
that.
Much for your show. I just wanted to ring and encourage those that are nervous about doing that to focus on the love of Jesus and the love
of
others. And the Holy Spirit will speak right through them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, God bless you for what you did.
Thanks a lot, Karen. God bless. All right. Good stuff. 4 let me try it again. 4 open lines. 877-207-2276. Give me a call, folks. Let's get to Jesse from Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going. It is going. So what do you got, man?
I just was hearing your guys talking about deathbed things, and I've been a paramedic for a really long time, and I have several stories, but one that I always go back to is we had gone on this call, and it was a lady who was older, sitting on her front porch, real severe shortness of breath. One thing that was interesting was my partner was an atheist at the time, and I had been a long-time Christian, and so I wasn't really ever looking for stuff because you'd be tired at night. You know, you wouldn't be thinking biblically. You'd just be running calls. So.
Right.
We went on this call, and she was there, and her eyes were closed, and she was, like, in real severe respiratory distress. But we went to pick her up, As soon as I touched her, she stood upright, opened her eyes, put her arm forward, and started saying, "Beautiful. I don't deserve this. Thank you. It's beautiful." And I just kind of was like, "Okay, ma'am, get on the gurney." Wasn't even really thinking about it. And then she said something again, and all of a sudden I kind of looked at her, and then she just like kind of fell, and I grabbed her, and she went limp in my arms. So we laid her down on the stretcher, and I looked at her, and I looked at my partner. I said, "Is she breathing?" And we you know, real quickly put all the gear on her and stuff, and sure enough, she wasn't. And she was like completely, we did everything possible like we're supposed to do, never had any response or anything. But when we put her on the monitor, she was already systole, which is like, you know, flatlined, which was a little odd for somebody that was talking a few minutes ago. Wow. And it was funny because it was just like, all of a sudden it just like hit you. Like you were kind of like looking at somebody that was peering into something. You didn't get to see it yourself, but you kind of got to see the reaction of somebody right. getting to look into something.
Would your atheist
and afterwards, my atheist partner said, "Did we just see something, Jess?" And I said, "I think you know we did." And you know, years later, we would talk about it sometimes. And he does actually go to a church now, which is funny.
Wow.
But you know, it was just one of those things where I you know, you can't impart it to somebody else. You had to have been there,
right?
But it was a moment that, for sure, in my heart. You know, and I've been a Christian for a while, and I used to tell God, which I'm careful what I ask for now, but I used to say, like, "Let me see a burning bush so my faith would be strong," you know, and instead he showed me other things that were different, but not right. exactly what you asked for, but still, okay. It was something that built my faith.
Well, I got a question for you, because I know a guy who was one of the first responders on 9/11, and I think 20 of us paramedic team group, whatever you want to call it in the area. He's one of five left. They died from asbestos and stuff. But at any rate, yeah. He told me that he and his partner would go to different houses. In that area, they would get called to drug houses, and there'd be people who were dead and people who were comatose or whatever, and they would triage the ones who were alive. He got really good at telling who's dead and who's not dead pretty quickly. And he said 11 different times that he had what he said were dead people sit up when he's working with somebody else, and in a weird voice say, "You can't have him," or "You can't have her. He's mine." And then this person would fall back.
Oh, my gosh. Gave me chills.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, my burning bush is a whole other story about a patient that actually said those exact words to me.
Really?
Said, "You can't have her." But that was one that was a young lady in a house. And I say this was possession. Young lady in a house. And she, when we got there, like, firefighters and police were holding her down. And she was just, like, growling at all the first responders. And so I came in the room. And again, it's 2:00 in the morning. Tired, not really thinking biblically, just thinking aggressive patient fighting with us, you know. And but she would all of a sudden like change and be like, "What's happening? Why are you holding me down?" You know, and I'd say, you know, like, "Okay, ma'am, just stay calm. We're trying to help you." But I noticed something really odd with her too, and that was that when I would put her on the cardiac, I put her on the cardiac monitor. And when she was, like, growling, because she was going back and forth, like, you know, like, she'd be this, like, fighting patient that we'd be, you know, and then she'd be, like, this scared person. But when she was fighting us, her heart rate was 80 and perfect, which is weird.
Wow.
And then when she was, like, and this is on the cardiac monitor, like, it was slowing down and speeding up. And so I really thought, like, you couldn't do that to yourself. I mean, maybe psychologically somebody could tell me that. Somebody could do that, but so it started. So then one time when it was there, I tried to talk to it, you know, yeah. Which I said, it looked at me and it said, "You can't have her." And I said, so where do you come from? And it said, somewhere you can't go. And I said, so what are you? And it looked at me in like in a snide way. All the answers were weird to me. It said, I'm an assassin. And I kind of like, it like hit me. I said, so you just drive people crazy until they kill themselves? And it smiled real big. And then I said, where? And I said, what are you called? And it said, we are zero. I never made anything of that biblically, but it went back and forth. And one time when she came to, she was like, what is going on? And I said, I don't know, but maybe you're possessed. And so she told the story that she was watching, like, ghost shows, you know, like shows about, like, whatever. And she said
paranormal.
She thought she heard something in the house. And then next thing she knew, we were on top of her and she was on the floor. So we, you know, prayed in the back of the ambulance, and then she never changed back again.
Well, that's good.
Which I'm not really sure to.
I know there are lots of stories from people like this, people who've been possessed. Yeah. I had an encounter once with someone, and that was freaky. But, you know, I'm always interested in these NDEs, near-death experiences, where they see things and stuff. And the ones that have really interested me the most are the ones of people who were born blind, and they've never seen, just never seen. And they'll have an accident or be in the hospital or something. And this one I read about, had an operation. The person died on the table. And then when they brought this person back, they had to do the whatever they do to bring him back, this blind person started describing what he saw. He says, now I understand what you're talking about, what seeing is. And he described his friends in the hallways or the waiting room, wherever it was, because he recognized their voices. And he was describing things. There was just absolutely no way he would have known. And so when you have those are the ones that get me, that, okay, this is really good evidence that something's going on.
Yeah. I've definitely just, over the years, had different experiences where I know something was up, you know, different senses and whatever. But I just wanted to share those stories just because I think that they're worth hearing.
It.
I don't know.
If they are, if you got any more, call back, let me know, okay?
All right.
All right, man. There's the music. All right, buddy. God bless.
Bye.
Hey, that was interesting. All the more reason why we need Jesus to save us from our sins, isn't it? Because there's a terrible judgment coming for those who don't trust in Him and the presence of Christ forever if you do trust Him. Hey, folks, may the Lord bless you by His grace. Back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Have a good evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.